Open your Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 5 for study number 32, please. This Bible study is titled 1 Timothy Study 32-Pure Heart-1. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. Help us today, Lord, to declare the whole counsel of the Word of God. Give us wisdom and understanding. Help us, Lord, to have an open heart, an open mind, and then, Lord, those who are listening, that they might have an open heart to receive the things of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse number 5, the Bible said, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned." In our last study, which was study number 31, we looked at the word pure in verse number 5. We did not say all that we could have said about the word pure, but we gave you enough to maybe cause you to think on this subject in more detail. In this study, which is study number 32, we will look at the words pure heart. It looks as if there will be more than one lesson on this subject. Then we will move on further into this verse 5 to the words good conscience. Our desire is to teach a portion of what God wants us to know from His holy word. These 15-minute studies are designed to help inform and teach you what God desires for your life. Before we go further into the study of the words pure heart, I want to remind you that this verse is pertaining to and includes the first charge Paul has told Timothy to give to the people in Ephesus. Paul has told Timothy what to charge the people with and also how to deliver the charge to them. He's told to deliver this charge in charity out of a pure heart. That is, Timothy is to deliver this charge in compassion and a holy love out of a pure heart. Paul is setting the standard for Timothy and all the men of God, even in our day as well. Every time the preacher stands behind the sacred desk to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ, he is to declare and deliver the message in charity or love from a pure heart. Notice I said every time. Paul expects Timothy to deliver this out of a pure heart. The pulpit is a holy place. The pulpit is the most holy place in the house of God. The two most important places in the church are the pulpit and the altar. From the pulpit, God conveys His commands, He conveys His demands, and He conveys His mind to the people through the Word and through the Holy Spirit of God. In the pulpit, God is doing business with the hearers. In the altar, the hearers are doing business with God. Both the pulpit and the altar are the two things that can put a man or woman in harmony with God. Singing and the choir are very important things and places in the church, and they can help prepare us for the message of God, but God has chosen preaching to save men and women, as is seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 21. The Bible said, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now, God wasn't looking for foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. Preaching is foolishness to the world. They can't understand it. They can't comprehend it. But God has chosen preaching to get the job done. The preacher has a responsibility, not an option, but a responsibility to be holy when standing as the spokesman for God and His holy word. Now, many preachers take the pulpit for granted. They use it to their advantage. Too many, it's just an occupation, a chore. It's a place to browbeat the congregation into submission or to prove that the preacher is in charge. God help us. After 50 years of preaching, I still get nervous and tremble when I stand in the pulpit to deliver the message of God from heaven. The pulpit is not the whipping post of God to whip the saints. It's the throne of God moving upon the hearts of God's people to inform them, to educate them, and to convict them of their iniquities. Since 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are the pastoral epistles, or our church manual, as I like to say, Paul is telling Timothy how to conduct himself in the pulpit. Paul is not teaching Timothy doctrine here or the fundamentals of the faith here in our text. He's already done that. He's been doing that for several years now. Read the book of Acts and you'll see the doctrines that Paul taught Timothy and all his hearers, and you'll find out I'm telling you the truth. Paul would not have trusted Timothy with the congregation while he went into Macedonia had he not had his doctrines correct and had them right. Amen. Paul was satisfied that Timothy was anchored in the fundamentals and his doctrine was correct. Amen. Are you anchored, I want to ask you, in your doctrines? Do you know what you believe? Are you 100% sure you hold to the Bible doctrines and not the doctrines of men? It's important. You say, what are doctrines? I've said it in previous lessons that our doctrines are that which we believe. Now, Paul is not telling Timothy here how to put what he's learned into action and demonstration. He's saying, Timothy, put the love and compassion with a pure heart in your preaching. Amen. Make sure the channel is clear and clean between you and God as you declare the Word of God. If there's anything between you and God when you stand, Timothy, you'll not be able to deliver the message needed with a pure heart. Paul is saying the people deserve to get what God wants them to hear. They don't need something else. They need what God wants them to hear. Make sure you don't have something in your heart that will hinder or keep them from receiving what they need from heaven. What a responsibility that has been placed upon the spiritual shoulders of the man of God. I'm telling you, what a responsibility. God help us to be what God demands of us as His men and His spokesman. Amen. The term pure heart is mentioned 4 times in the Word of God. The first mention of this phrase is found in Psalm chapter 24 and verses 3 and 4. We'll read that. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? That's 2 questions that God is asking. Now He's going to answer that. He says, He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Let me give you a 4-point outline here about a pure heart and about these 4 places it's mentioned in the Word of God. There's a pure heart of salvation here in Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. There's a pure heart of preaching that we're going to talk about a little later in another lesson, and it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. Then there's the pure heart of service that we'll preach on and teach on in another lesson, and we'll find it in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 22. And then there's the pure heart of fellowship found in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 22 that we will read again and speak on in a future lesson. We'll now look at each of these in this lesson and other lessons to follow. The first one we want to deal with this afternoon is, number 1, this is the pure heart of salvation here in our text that I read to you out of Psalm 24. Only those who have a pure heart will enter into the presence of the Lord according to Scripture. I can't make my heart or your heart pure. Neither can you make your heart or my heart pure. Only the Lord can cleanse our hearts and make them pure. It'll take a pure heart to see the Lord. Look at what Jesus said about a pure heart in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 8. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Lord desires for us to have a pure heart. The Lord demands for us to have a pure heart. The Lord desires to give us a pure heart. He's the only one that can cleanse our heart and get rid of all the impurities of sin and iniquity, and make our hearts spotless and pure. Now, the book of Ezekiel, we'll find something about a heart transplant. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 19. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh. God must give us a new heart in order for us to have a pure heart. Only God can perform a heart transplant in our soul that will change us forever. Amen. God took out a rib from the side of Adam and made a woman. He used heavenly anesthesia and invisible sutures, if you will, to sew him up. Amen. When he got through. But we'll find that Adam's been in external pain ever since. Amen. Well, when it comes to salvation, God can take our old heart out of us and put a new one inside. Amen. He needn't do it without anesthesia. He can do it without sutures. He can do it without pain. He can do it without pain medicine. He can do it without insurance. He can do it without a hospital stay. It'll be the quickest surgery you'll ever have, and it'll be the greatest one that you'll ever experience if you have that new birth and God gives you a new heart. Isaiah had something similar to say on this same subject in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. He said, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Only the Lord can make a clean heart or a pure heart. I've said it over and over, and I'll keep saying it. He's the only one who can wash away the filthy sin of unbelief from your heart and put in the righteousness of God. Now, Paul tells us about this change, amen, that we can have through the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us that in the Word of God. And he says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. He said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Notice God said, old things are passed away, and we are a new creature. Amen. He also said, all things are become new. Notice he said, all things, not just some things, but all things. We are completely different after we are saved. He saves us and changes us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. Amen. This seems to be different to some folks in our society, and unfortunately in most of our churches today. Many walk the aisles and make a profession of faith and tell the church that they've been saved. Then they leave the church and go back to the hell holes of the world. Worldly entertainment is still practiced in their life, along with ungodly habits and ungodly lifestyles. Some never go back to the church, and they go for years saying they're saved and on their way to heaven while living and practicing in sin in their lives. This is a slap in the face of the Word of God. Amen. I want you to know it's a slap in the face of God. All that Jesus saves are different and are brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to know salvation is not just a change of the mind, as some would have you to believe. It'll clean up the outside too. It's a change of the heart that will clean the outside completely after cleaning the inside first. You'll walk different. You'll talk different. You'll live different. You'll not go to the same places you used to go. You'll not do the same things you used to do. You will not dress the same way you used to dress. Your wardrobe will change. Your habits will change. You will love God. You'll love His church. You'll love His word. You'll love His man. And you'll love His family, which are the saints of God. You'll love them as you have never loved them before. You will love your wife or your husband, and you will love your children with a new love and a new affection. You'll love your Bible as never before, and have a desire to pray and seek the face of God in all your daily activities. A pure heart will cause you to hate sin. It'll cause you to hate the devil, the world, the flesh. A pure heart will cause you to pray fervently for your country, for your church, for your pastor, for your family, and especially the lost that are on their way to hell. A pure heart will cause you to witness to the lost and do all you can to win them at any cost. A pure heart will cause you to walk in the ways of the Lord. A pure heart will create a desire in your soul to be a Christ-like in all the avenues of life. A pure heart will cause you to love your neighbor as yourself, as you're commanded to do in Matthew chapter number 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." We hope this lesson, number 32, has been a blessing, an encouragement, and a help to your soul. Allow the Holy Spirit to let this soak into your soul and stir your life. We'd like to hear from you. May you write us, I pray, in Jesus' precious name today. God bless you. Amen and amen.